now?
Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
Nothing to do to save his life, call his wife, and
hey! What's going on this Friday morning, 4:04? Not such a great morning for Yankee fans as they got embarrassed these last 3 days by the Baltimore Orioles. We knew how big of a series this was heading into it. Trying to establish something after losing 3 of 4 in the first go-round at the end of May, and instead Baltimore came in and made a statement. And beat the Yankees up, took 2 of 3, and absolutely pounded them yesterday, 17-5, and embarrassed the Yankees on a couple of different levels. I just talked about it before the break, before the top of the hour, how I felt like the way they handled getting plunked in retaliation and just walking to first base and winning games is exactly how you handle it. And the Yankees and their fans in particular screaming about needing retaliation and complaining about one pitch that got up and in on Aaron Judge and the anger that was showed, and then not waiting until you're down 3 runs before you hit someone and ultimately coming back but blowing the game when you threw a ball into the outfield, and then watching them pound you the next day 17-5, and then against your best pitcher, no less, in Luis Gil, who is arguably as good as anyone in the American League. We've been having these discussions about whether or not he's going to start the All-Star game. He's been brilliant. He's been electric. It's been unbelievable to watch, and he's been everything you could have asked for while Gerrit Cole was gone. He completely replaced him as an ace. And to watch them beat Gerrit Cole on a short pitch count, albeit, and then to pound Luis Gil and break the streak of consecutive games of going at least 4 innings from your starting pitcher, to watch him get bounced in the second, giving up all these runs, getting knocked around the building when he's been the Yankees' best pitcher, they came in and made a real statement. The Yankees faced none of their good starting pitching, whether it's injury or just missing Burns. The pitching matchups favored the Yankees. They're playing in Yankee Stadium. And they needed to make the statement after losing 3 of 4. And instead, Baltimore came in here, embarrassed the New York Yankees, embarrassed Luis Gil, and took it to them and made a statement of their own that right now, despite the fact that the New York Yankees are a half a game up in the division still, that the best team in this division is the Baltimore Orioles. And while all that is true, I also think that we go way too far in taking what I just said, although be it fact, and turning that into the Yankees can't win, the Yankees suck. The Yankees, while having issues clearly with the bullpen that has been a disaster over the last 2 weeks and has fallen apart. But despite all that, that this is the same old, now it's the same as 2022. This team stinks. They can't beat anybody good. We make up narratives about who they played and who they can't beat. Right? It's all over the place. Everywhere I see, oh, they can't beat good teams. They lost to the Dodgers. They lost to the Orioles. Hell, they lost to the Boston Red Sox, the only series that matter. Okay, the Boston Red Sox are 10 games behind. We're putting that on the list because they lost to the Yankees. They beat the Yankees, so we're going to try and further the point that the Yankees can't beat good teams. We make it up. We leave off Cleveland, who have the third best record in the American League and lead their division in 20 games over 500. We don't include that in the series of teams the Yankees have played, not the Milwaukee Brewers, who are in first place, the Kansas City Royals, who are a playoff team. None of those series matter. It doesn't matter. All that matters is they lost to the Dodgers and the Orioles. And hell, I'll agree. And we also forget the idea that we started the season beating the Astros 4 games when the Astros have been the nemesis of not only the Yankees, but everyone else in the American League for the last decade. And because they're 4 games under 500 currently, those 4 games to start the year don't matter. None of it matters. All that matters is the Dodgers and the Orioles. And hell, you know what? Let's just drop the Dodgers. All that matters is the Baltimore Orioles. But that doesn't change the fact that this Yankee team still has, now tied with the Baltimore Orioles, the best record in baseball. That Aaron Judge is still the best hitter in baseball. They've still scored a ton of runs and they still have the trade deadline to fix their holes. And maybe the blessing of this whole thing is because they got pounded, because the fan base is up in an uproar, because they played poorly against the American League East, and because they've lost five of the first seven against the Baltimore Orioles, and particularly yesterday in embarrassing fashion, that the New York Yankees can have no misconceptions about the holes on this team and the necessity to go fill them. There is no doubt they still need a corner infielder, and there is no doubt they need multiple relievers. There is no doubt that there are holes with this group, but they are still an excellent team. They are still right there with the Baltimore Orioles as the best team in the American League. And although the Baltimore Orioles, and I told you this yesterday, although the Baltimore Orioles took it to them in these three games, well, two of the last two and one, two out of three, the Baltimore Orioles lineup top to bottom is no joke, and they scored a ton of runs in this game and did a nice job in this series. But ultimately, their starting rotation is in shambles. Their bullpen, the Yankees came back, and the Orioles blew a four-run lead without Aaron Judge in the lineup the other night. And their closer is Craig Kimbrell. Like, when you look around the rest of the league, if you're going to tell me that they can't beat good teams, and you know that because they can't beat the Dodgers and the Orioles, and those are the only two teams you can find to make that argument, well, then the Yankees are right there, aren't they? And we need to stop taking every time they lose a game and transforming it into an argument of how they can't win, or woe is me, or oh my God, it's the same thing as 2 years ago. It's the same thing we've seen since 2009. They can't win. They've got holes. They need to fix them. But they are still right there with the Orioles, in my mind. And they've got to figure out a way to be a little bit better and play better in these games against Baltimore and find a way to win. And as embarrassing as it was, and as frustrating a series as it was, this bullpen is going to have to figure it out. They're going to add arms. They've already sent down Marinaccio. They're going to call up another arm. They'll make a trade, and this team will bolster itself. But we need to stop making dramatic declarations about what we know off of a three-game set in June when the Yankees still have the best record. It both can be true. They had a miserable last 2 days of the series. They got embarrassed by Baltimore. They're still pretty damn good and right there with the Orioles. All of that can be true. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the phone calls, as we like to take as many as we can in the last hour of our five-hour midnight rides. Liam in Blue Point. What's up, Liam?
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy? What's going on?
Yeah, stole my thunder a little bit. I was going to talk about how that series was definitely embarrassing, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also still don't understand the whole retaliation against Henderson. Really don't get that.
Nope, but, makes no sense.
I think this series definitely gave the Orioles some confidence, though, too, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's no doubt. And people say, oh, the Orioles have no fear of the New York Yankees. I mean, I think that's been overblown for years. Nobody fears the New York Yankees, nor do the New York Yankees fear anybody else. They've been beat by the Astros for damn near a decade. I don't think they fear the Astros. They just can't beat them. And we'll see if these two teams meet in the playoffs, whether or not the Yankees can beat the Orioles. They'll still have two more series against them. But yeah, the Orioles are a young, talented, athletic team. But make no mistake, they have flaws too. They have a rotation in shambles right now. They have a back end of the bullpen who couldn't hold the Yankees down with a four-run lead in this game, and have Craig Kimbrell closing out games for them. But they came in and played better. They found a way to win that game in extra innings. The Yankees are particularly bad in extra inning games, having a record of 1-6. And then they absolutely pounded Luis Gil, who had absolutely nothing in this game. Just absolutely nothing. And then once you get to the underbelly of the bullpen, who have to throw all these innings, they tacked on runs and embarrassed the New York Yankees. But I don't think I leave this series thinking Baltimore is far and away the better team. The Yankees can't catch up. Because honestly, if the Yankees figure out a way to win that game in extra innings, if Trevino throws a good ball to third base and gets Mullins out at third base and the Yankees win that extra inning game, That one throw is the difference in possibly feeling like, hey, Yankees took 2 out of 3 against Baltimore. Everything's actually pretty good. That we made a statement here and won 2 out of 3, as opposed to, oh my God, we got our ass kicked. The season's falling apart. They can't beat anybody good. We're one throw from a catcher into left field having that much of a swing difference. That's baseball. And we get hung up in the minutia of the everyday when it's a marathon, not a sprint. But having said that, they got their ass kicked this weekend.
Yeah, for sure. I also think it's for Yankee fans, it's a little early to go into panic mode. So I think we just got to, you know, keep moving forward and look at the next series coming up.
Absolutely. And that's what I'll say to the people who, you know, have this belief that they can't beat good teams. What do we think about Atlanta? Is Atlanta a good team? Should I consider this a series as a litmus test, or is this just another 3 games? Or do we wait until the Yankees win or lose the series before we determine whether they're a good team or not? Where if the Yankees win 2 out of 3, okay, yeah, it means nothing. They're not really a good team. They're having a down year. The offense has really struggled. They don't have Acuna. Or if they lose the series, see, again, the Braves, 10 games over 500, one of the better teams in the National League, and the Yankees can't beat them. So I guess we wait. We'll wait to find out which one it is. Because that's what we've done. That's what we're doing. That's what we're focused on. And that's what's bothering me, despite the fact that they got their ass kicked this weekend. It's never just they got their ass kicked this weekend. It's always some sort of major indictment on what the team can't do come October. Danny in Belrose. What's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. How you doing?
Good. Good morning. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I can't play it Friday.
How's married life treating you?
It's great. Tomorrow I'll be 5 weeks married. Yeah,
5 weeks already. Unbelievable. Time is flying.
Yeah, so...
What'd you get for your five-week anniversary?
For the 1 month, we went to see Inside Out 2.
Oh, nice. Look at you. Inside Out 2. Excellent.
Yeah, good movie.
The first one's great. The first one's really well written and well done. I haven't seen... I got to see the second one.
The second one was good. It was cute. Gotcha. So the Yankee game yesterday, I'm not worried about it, honestly. Every pitcher once in a while gets rocked. You know, it was his turn to get rocked.
Right.
I'm not worried about that. You know, I mean, things happen, you know. Sometimes you don't have your best stuff, you know. What can you do?
I agree.
And also, to be honest with you, yeah, we got a couple holes here, Phil, like you said. That happens, you know. The bullpens haven't been that great the last 2 weeks, so you know it is what it is. But you know, but the way I look at it, the way I look at it, that they're going to be fine. Atlanta's coming up. I was looking at the next couple, batteries against them. We should be all right. I think it'll take 2 out of 3. You know, they'll get back on the hot.
We'll see, Danny. And they're going to throw 3 good starting pitchers at the Yankees, so they're going to have to figure it out. But yeah, I mean, that's what we need to. Avoid, like, Luis Gil was bad yesterday. There's no doubt about it. He had nothing. And if you watch the games, you know, immediately we always go to tipping pitches, which I think was nonsense. He was throwing pitches right down the middle. The Mullins home run is a slider right down the middle. He was throwing fastballs down the middle to try and get ahead, and they were jumping all over his first pitch. Like, they were on his fastball. And he was throwing too good of a, he was getting his fastball too much of the plate, and he got hit. It was kind of bound to happen. He says he feels great, but obviously with his innings over the last couple of years and the thought that there would be some sort of inning limit on some level or they're monitoring his fatigue level, like we're going to jump to the conclusion that he's hit a wall or, you know, the league has seen enough of him and figured him out. It's one start. We'll have to see what he does bouncing back. They're going to have to monitor his level of fatigue and his arm fatigue. We've known this. They've talked about it. He says he feels great. I don't think there was a major dip in velocity or anything. He just didn't have his good stuff. And he doesn't know how to, he hasn't had to compete yet. Right? Like we talked about it to bring the Rangers and the Knicks into this. Like the Ranger team, they needed the adversity. All right, you swept Washington, great. You want to lose a couple games to Florida or Carolina. You don't want to just sweep the whole thing. You need some adversity. Well, Luis Gil has had no adversity this entire season. He has been a hot knife through proverbial butter. It has been very easy for him. He's come out and dominated. So I'm not sure he knew how to react. He didn't know how to respond. He didn't know how to, you know, pitch yet. He is not a crafty veteran to know to take a little off, you know, do a little something different, change his patterns. Like, he goes out there and he dominates. And when he can't dominate, he's going to struggle a little bit. And for the first time this year, he didn't dominate. But we got to control ourselves about jumping to conclusions about what we expect from him, what we expect from this team, and the idea that, hey, he might have just struggled and maybe the next time out he'll be great. But that's the other, like, in a definitive nature happened in this series. We do not know for sure the Yankees cannot beat the Orioles. We do not know for sure that Luis Gil can't pitch anymore, or has hit some sort of wall. And we do not know for sure this bullpen will never get anybody out again. And that's the other thing. The bullpen, over the first 60-some-odd games of the year, had the best ERA in all of baseball. They were terrific. They're going through a bad patch. They're not this bad. It's a problem. Don't get me wrong. They're going to have to adjust it. We talked about, even while they were going good, not enough strikeout arms. And I'll continue to tell you, Clay Holmes is a very good reliever and one of the better closers in the sport. And I don't need him to get a million strikeouts. I don't need him to be a strikeout guy. Just like Mariano Rivera wasn't a strikeout guy. He still managed to get the job done. You got to get the job done, plain and simple. And over the last, you know, four appearances, he hasn't been as good. And so while I don't need my closer, like so many people try and tell me, I don't need my closer to get swing and misses, I do need it on some level in the bullpen. And they don't have enough. They're going to have to add guys. You got Efros coming back, but they're going to have to add some guys at the deadline. No doubt about it. And what we've seen, the one thing I will say about Holmes is he's not suited for the extra inning rule during the regular season. Thankfully, that's not the extra inning rule won't be there in the postseason, because that's the one place you need swing and miss. You need swing and miss from a reliever coming in with a runner starting at second base. You need swing and miss. You get a slow ground ball to third base. Third baseman has to come in and make the play to first. Now you got a runner at third base. You didn't do anything. A bloop hit gives up a run. Like, that's just, you need swing and miss, especially in extra innings. And this bullpen is just not built for it. That's why they're 1-6 in extra innings. This Yankee team is not built for this new rule of extra innings right now. They're going to have to go out there and get better relievers. No doubt about it. But I try not to take too much out of this series other than they have played 7 games against the Orioles. I don't care about anybody else. I don't care about the Dodgers. I don't care about the Red Sox. And then conversely, I don't care about the Cleveland Guardians. I don't care about the Kansas City Royals. And I don't care about the Milwaukee Brewers. I care. There's only one team. How are they going to beat the Baltimore Orioles? That's it. They're the two best teams in the American League. I don't think anyone would dispute that. And they have to find a way to be better against Baltimore. And hopefully they recognize that and go about making it happen. And we'll see. They're going to try and better themselves too. They have holes. They have no starting pitching right now. They have a bullpen that really, you know, with Cano and, you know, Cano's done a nice job, not a closer. They've closed with Kimbrel. He's not been good. They just blew a 4-run lead to the Yankees the other night. These teams are very close. The Orioles have played better. And to me, the most embarrassing thing of this whole thing is how they handled the retaliation. The patheticness of, we have to retaliate, when all you got was one inside fastball that hit Judge in the hand. The anger shown, the need for retaliation, and then the retaliation completely backfiring, leading to a run in a 1-run loss, and then having them turn around and pound the Yankees 17-5. It just all feels like the Orioles have the enormous upper hand, when in reality, they just have the upper hand.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
A perfect game for David Cone. The third time, works like a charm. It is the third perfect game in Yankee Stadium history. Don Larson. Boston in 56, David Wells in 98, David Cone in 99, 27 up, 27 down. David Cone has attained baseball immortality.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 4:30, that means we're about, what, 10 hours away? From Mets Cubs. All the way across town. That's right, 2:20 on a Friday afternoon. Might be the norm in Chicago, not the norm for us. Friday afternoon game. Mets Cubs, Quintana versus Imanaga. Last time they saw Imanaga, 7 scoreless innings. And the Mets are going to have to try and keep that momentum. What do they do after losing that game? What do they do after the losing streak comes to an end? How do they bounce back? Because I've been talking about this with the Mets for a while. Because ultimately, I believe in the talent of the Mets. I have all of last year. I did, obviously, we all did, with 101 victories heading into that playoff series and heading into the Atlanta series at the end of the year, the playoff series against San Diego, and then all of that. I've always believed on some level in this group that really, since that Atlanta series, has underachieved on a massive scale. And I've always felt like clearly the problem is the inability to stop the negative momentum and the inability to continue the positive momentum. And right now they are playing their best baseball probably since 2022. And they're coming off a win streak that was ended the other day. And once you end that win streak, you have to get right back on it. And, you know, after you put away the grimace and all the other stuff that's just, you know, nonsense around it, whether it's fun, whether you like it, whether you had a good time with it, or whether you felt like me and Sal, it's dumb and I'd rather just focus on celebrating the Mets than I would, you know, coming up with nonsense to fill my time. How do you respond off losing that game? How do you respond once you get back? Because to me, that's what it's been, whether it's the June swoon of last year where you couldn't stop it. This year, taking 2 of 3 from the Dodgers, losing that last game, then having it all fall apart in San Francisco and subsequently the rest of the month, really, of just playing miserable baseball. And now that it's going good, right? I declared the team dead after I thought they had that players' meeting. They came out, they beat up on Arizona for 2 games, and then immediately right back into the crapper by getting blown out and blowing a save. And I felt like, geez, this team can't hold on to any momentum. And so now that's what they're going to have to do. Heading into Wrigley, day game, I'm assuming, I know the weather doesn't have to be the same, I'm assuming it's warm in Chicago, I should double check. You know the ball flies out of there. And they got to continue this onslaught of offense, really, and what they've done here, and take on one of the better pitchers in the National League, who they're now seeing for a second time. I think I heard Evan on the Rico Pronia, I was listening to a little bit, mention that this will be Imanaga's first time facing an opponent for the second time. This guy who's come, you know, from Japan, kind of underwhelming underneath the bright lights that was Yamamoto, and has done an incredible job and has been one of the best pitchers, if not the best pitcher, in the National League. And now, after having shut down the Mets the last time they saw him at Citi Field for 7 innings, they're going to get a second look at him, get another opportunity to take a chance at him. And this offense, and whether it's Pete Alonso, who's really, you know, starting to get hot, you'd love to see him go deep at Wrigley again, just get the ball up in the air. You might, depending on how the wind's blowing, the ball can carry out. You got to keep going with Lindor at the top of the order. Obviously, you'd love to keep going with Nimmo, who I think in many ways is kind of a very important catalyst for this team. And he's been, you know, hot as a pistol the last couple of days. J.D. Martinez, who was really the forefront of changing this whole thing with the walk-off home run in that second game against Miami, the grimace game. Like, this offense has been so good for the last, you know, week or so, more than that, really, because they've played, what, it's 10 out of the last 13 now, or whatever it's been. They've been playing their best brand of baseball, haven't lost the series, dating back to the team meeting and getting swept by the Dodgers. When was that, the beginning of the month, the end of May? This is an important series against a team, like several others, that they're competing with in the middle of this jumbled up National League wild card. And they split the first four, and you want to get the tiebreaker. And heading into this series against a good starting pitcher, Quintana, who's coming off, you know, arguably one of his better starts of the year in his last appearance, they just got to keep building on things. And that's why, you know, I got a bunch of people, oh, you're a wet blanket, you're down on the Mets. I'm not down on the Mets. I'm just not ready to. I've seen enough of them being unable to put together a long stretch of good baseball. That's just a fact. They haven't been able to build on momentum. So I need more than a week. But there's no doubt, when I look at the rest of the National League, it's hard to make a case that, you know, that anybody not named the Brewers, the Phillies, the Braves, the Dodgers, any of those teams other than those are in any way better than the Mets. In any way. Including the Chicago Cubs. So coming off the day off, getting to decompress and put together this entire, you know, Grimace thing and get ready for AG after Grimace. It's important to get right back on it, because if they lose this series, it's just the momentum killer against a team that's kind of floundering, a team that hasn't, you know, played well over the last 3 or 4 weeks, a team that they're absolutely better than, and in the middle of their offense being as hot as it's been collectively that we've seen since 2022. And with Lindor at the top of the order, everybody coming around, like, this is just a series they can't afford to lose. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. So that's the weekend fun for them. And then the Yankees take on the Braves. And we'll see whether or not it's a big series, depending on whether they win or lose. That's how we determine it these days. If they lose, it was a really impactful series. If they win, not so much. And unfortunately, that's just the nature of the beast right now.
Talk New York sports with us. 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
So the Giants had this event, I guess, last night, where they were, you know, previewing the season. A lot of Giant greats were there. I saw LT, Parcells, Tiki Barber was in the house. Obviously, Joe Shane and Brian Dable. And, you know, one of the things that came out that I was reading from Art Stapleton, tweeted it out, and saw a couple things about it, is I was really looking forward, I am looking forward to Hard Knocks. Although it's going to be a different Hard Knocks for the New York Giants, it's going to be the off-season Hard Knocks, whatever that means. We'll see. A different time period, different elements. It won't be camp. It won't be practice. We won't have the little vignettes about the guy struggling to make the team and, you know, his family dynamic and all the different things they do with that kind of stuff. It'll be a little bit different. But what bothered me now and what disappoints me, and I mentioned a little earlier, but what bothers me and disappoints me is Joe Shane admitted that NFL Films granted the Giants final say on all things that may be edited out of Hard Knocks for competitive reasons heading into the 2024 season. So here, this is Art Stapleton. Joe Shane revealed tonight that NFL Films grants Giants final say on all things that may be edited out of Hard Knocks for competitive reasons heading into 2024. So it will be interesting to see what makes the cut. Okay. I think it's more interesting what didn't make the cut. Don't you think? Like, I thought the whole point, if they have final say, they're going to go through the episodes and just go, nope, nope, nope. What fun is that? And I heard, and Brian Daboll made a joke, which by the way, Brian Daboll is half the size. The guy looks phenomenal. And his wife Beth was there. I guess they're together on this. They both look great. But the coach has lost a lot of weight, which scares me as well. Nervous about it. The last time a coach changed his look around here, it did not go well. It did not go well. And I've told the story about Brian Daboll myself just last year. I predicted the failure of the New York Giants last year in training camp. Because I told you, I was there with Mike Francesa in 2017 when McAdoo showed up so comfortable for that interview. I couldn't believe it, with his sunglasses on, his hair slicked back. The guy practically put his feet up on the desk. I kid you not. He looked like he was a rock star walking through. He was so comfortable. And then we all know what happened after that first year where he made the playoffs. We all know how the disaster that was the 2017 Giants. And then when Brian Daboll showed up last year to the interview with Boomer and Gio, I felt like he was like very comfortable. He sits down, Boomer says something, he comes right back at him with a joke to go right at Boomer. And it just felt like, okay, this guy feels really too comfortable. And the last time I saw a coach too comfortable at camp, we know what happened. And now he's going along and changing his looks too. I don't like it. And plus, we know Rex Ryan lost all his good mojo the second he dropped his weight. He should be too busy to lose weight. He should be eating crappy takeout and going over film. That's what I say. But he said something at this event as well about he would try and play music on his phone that he knows is copyrighted and could be an issue for HBO. Like, I mean, I know that's tongue-in-cheek, and we'll see what actually gets cut. But if you're going to do this, then just do it. Competitive balance. We'll see. I'll tell you what I know. I know what's not going to be said. I'll tell you right now. As they go through the draft or whatever else, they are going to take away, for a little competitive balance, anything negative about Daniel Jones. All the talk about their draft board, and, oh, I'd love to have him. There's no way that wasn't caught on camera somewhere. If, oh, man, do you think, you know, can we figure out a way to get up to the Patriots? We need Drake May. We need to change this franchise. That's definitely been said, and it's definitely getting cut. You know that. You know they're going to protect their investment in Daniel Jones. And listen, rightfully so, they're going to have to go with him. And it sounds like he's, you know, healthy and he should be available for camp, but that's what I know is getting cut. Because I know all the Giant fans are going to say, see, they really love this guy. I don't know why they weren't looking to trade up. We all know they were. And you all know they should have. Still hung up on the Dan Jones thing. I am. As we get ready for the season to start, I'm still waiting. I'm looking forward to this Hard Knocks, but I don't like whenever it's like, that was the same thing when we found about the, you know, when Jordan does the documentary and he's executive producer of it, it's like, okay. I mean, it was still great, and it hit at a time where we were desperate for anything. I mean, we would have, you know, to steal the old cliche, we would have drank the sand, man. I mean, I would have done anything to watch something about sports during that COVID. I mean, that was, that Jordan documentary, it could have been the worst piece of crap you've ever seen, completely slanted in Jordan's way, and many people feel it was. But it was anything. I needed it. And we'll see how good this Giants Hard Knock is, but I don't like the idea that they have final cut. Got to be honest. Don't like it. Don't like it. I want to see the warts. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the phone calls. Chris in Seagirt, New Jersey. What's up, Chris?
All right. Well, in honor of Donald Sutherland, who played probably one of the greatest characters ever made, Darden Oddball, I'm hearing like all these negative waves. I'm going to call you Moriarty. So if you look
okay. Moriarty is the bad guy in James Bond, correct? I'm not James Bond, idiot. Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, no, this is Moriarty is played by Gavin McLeod in the movie Kelly's Heroes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And he's just, when he goes, enough with that negative waves. Why don't you say something righteous and hopeful for a change? So,
all right, so say something righteous and hopeful. What negative? I can't win with you people. I'm nothing but pom-pom waving Yankee fan. I mean, what negativity did I bother you with now?
Well, you're talking about Dable. You're already negative about Dable.
Yes.
I don't need to hear that. The game, they haven't played one down in a season, and you're already negative.
Well, I mean, yeah, so, he lost weight. I'm negative about it, clearly.
What does that have to do with him?
What do you mean, what does it have to do? It means everything. Don't you get that?
No, I don't.
No,
I
you don't get it?
Okay. I'm obtuse.
I'm clearly having a little fun, but I'm just saying, we saw Rex Ryan lose weight and get fired. We saw, remember, Ben McAdoo showed up to his opening press conference in a suit that was way too big for him. He lost weight heading into that year, and that was a positive year for him. And then he got super comfortable and slicked his hair back and wore the sunglasses. I'm just saying, there's trends here about a coach getting too comfortable, getting too sexy, and there's a problem with it. I want my coach, you know, eating chicken wings and watching film, not on the Peloton. I'm obviously just kidding and having a little fun. I like Brian Dable. I do. And I understand there's some people, there's reports that he's on the hot seat and that upsets people. I understand why he's on the hot seat. They had a miserable year last year. You can't go backwards. Unfortunately, that's what sucks, right? It's difficult to go backwards. If he would have had last year 2 years ago and then 2 years ago last year, everyone would be happy. You can't go backwards. And I don't know what the role of Bill Belichick waiting in the wings actually is, but as Bill Belichick is finding his newfound freedom and dating 24-year-old models and enjoying life, maybe he'll just say, I don't want to coach, but I doubt that very much. And I think we all understand the respect, admiration, and deep, deep love, full-bloom love that he has for the New York Giants organization. And Brian Dable, let's be honest, I'm open to the idea that coaches need to grow. And this first-time head coach, you know, is going to get better with experience. And I felt like 2 years ago, he changed the entire dynamic of the organization. So I'm open to it. I like him. I don't want him to get fired. I don't want him to be on the hot seat. But it is what it is. And last year, you know, he's messing around with taking the play calling away and giving it back and taking the play calling away from Kafka. Obviously, him and Wink couldn't get along. Now, I'm glad that they sided on the way of the head coach. And I think ultimately, not knowing every particular of the situation, I think, you know, Wink is probably more in the wrong than Dable. But that's just a bird's eye view in my opinion of it. And I'm glad that he won the struggle, and it should be his team, and there shouldn't be people going behind his back and leaking and everything like that. But ultimately, turmoil, and losing. That's what happened. And an offense that was putrid, and a defense that got worse. Now, I do like the Giants front seven. I do. It's about as good as any in the league. And that's going to be the strength of their team. But I still don't know what they're going to get offensively. Hopefully Neighbors is this great player. Hopefully Daniel Jones can stay healthy. Hopefully, you know, even without Saquon Barkley, with Neighbors and Hyatt and Wandale Robinson, and I guess Bellinger at tight end, they can find enough. And I'm hopeful that Daniel Jones still is able to use his legs. He's saying he can, but I don't trust a quarterback who relies so much on his legs, where every time he gets hit, I'm worried about his neck, and every time he runs, I'm worried about his knee. Kind of have a problem with that, fundamentally. But I'll work on it, and I'm open to the idea that he can bounce back and be the same Daniel Jones, which even that isn't scoring touchdowns now, is it? So something's got to give. But I'm fairly optimistic about this season, I suppose, but ultimately, I just don't know. I need a future. I need a future, and I don't believe Daniel Jones has a future at the quarterback position for this team. And if that's up in the air, everything's up in the air. I mean, because if Joe Shane gave a bad contract, if Joe Shane whiffed on a right tackle, if, you know, some of the things that were supposed to be the strength of this team aren't, if the offensive line still can't get rebuilt despite what they've done, despite hiring the new coach, you know, if Bowen and this defense, you know, struggle with a little bit of a fundamental change and not being so aggressive, but hopefully, you know, Kayvon Thibodeau can really establish himself as a legitimate pass rusher by, I don't know, rushing the passer more often, then we'll see. But I don't know. I'm not trying to be negative. I was having a little fun at 4 o'clock in the morning off the news that they're, you know, this Hard Knock show is going to be edited by the Giants. What's the point? What's the point? The Giants are going to edit it? Well, we'll see what we get. And then I'm just having some fun with the coach because he does look great, and I'm jealous. I'm jealous, and I'm concerned because we've seen it before here. Seen it before. CeCe Sabathia needed the weight to be successful. David Wells needed the weight to be successful. You come in as a big guy, you'll leave thin with less hair when things don't go well. You fatten up when things, right? You fatten up on the rest of the NFL. That's the term. We need Dable to fatten back up. But old, he does look phenomenal. And that was some dais. I would love, there was a picture of LT talking with, I think it was Phil Simms and Parcells and Tom Coughlin. I mean, that was some event last night. Can you imagine LT coaching Tom Coughlin? Excuse me. No, that I can't imagine. Tom Coughlin coaching LT, do you think he would understand the 10-minute rule? Do you think LT would be on Coughlin time? Might be a problem. As Belichick told that great story once when they did the 100 Greatest Players, where Belichick was talking about coaching LT, and LT was like 15 minutes late for the meeting, and Belichick went to Parcells and said, hey, I just thought you should know, you know, Lawrence was, you know, 15 minutes late for the meeting. And Parcells responded with, why the hell did you start the meeting without him? I don't think Coughlin would have had that same response. That's a great story. And that's why you're fearful of this guy waiting in the wings. Because he's got history and stories like that with the New York Giants. That's it for me. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. Fleegs on the other side. Let's go. A little baseball over the weekend. I'll actually catch you again tomorrow. A little overtime. A little extra work. I think I'm in for Keith right after the Yankees and Atlanta. So hopefully they can win a game here. And against a good team, no less. What will we do with ourselves if the Yankees beat a good team? We'll have to call Atlanta a bad team. That's the only solution. Mets and Cubs. So we got baseball on the docket for the weekend. Everybody enjoy. Hopefully the weather's nice. Get out there. Have some fun. Have a barbecue. I don't know. Do something. I'm going home. See you later. Warm-up show's next. Sports Radio 101.9 FM.